This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
News Radio 560 KPQ is 12:15. That means it's time for The Agenda. Michael Knight and my very special guest here in our studio waiting for the temperature to go up, really. I can't venture outside till it's 70 degrees because I am a delicate flower. Consider this, ladies and gentlemen, without a clue as to how her idea would resonate over the next coming 100 years, an interesting woman from New Zealand arrived in Wenatchee, and she's remembered today as the founder of the Apple Blossom Festival. Her name was Susan Wagner. She married an early apple shipper, quite a guy here in town, and in 1919 she organized the first festival of its kind in the valley in an effort to recreate the type of village festival that she enjoyed in New Zealand when she was a child. The more we learn about Susan Wagner, the more we are impressed with her business sense, her energy, her enthusiasm, and her luck. How could she have known that her brainstorm would last 100 years and counting? If Susan Wagner were in town today, she might be astounded by the $18 Hawaiian cheeseburgers served in Memorial Park, the exact site of the first Blossom Festival. Although the speeches, the maypoles, and the baseball have been replaced by Thai food, funnel cakes, and Donnerhausen Essen Deutsche Bier, as we would expect. Would Susan Wagner ride a Lexus convertible down Arondo? Would she take a turn in the tilt-a-whirl? Would she petition the city council to reinstate cruising and unavoidable casual violence from visiting motorcycle gangs? Would she approve of our choices in royalty for the event? Would she endorse the Blossom Beer Garden featuring local suds from talented local suds makers? Would she buy all her soap for the upcoming year of 1920 at the Crafts Fair? Would she festoon her own float for the parade with a scale model of the islands of New Zealand making their way past the stately courthouse? And in a side note, apparently the North and South Islands of New Zealand are called that, but they have no formal name. The Maoris have an ancient name for the North and South. So today, for purposes of discussion, we're going to call the North Island Mark and the Southern Island David, if you don't mind. And I won't say which is which. It's an old hippie habit of not forcing things that need to be clarified. So let it go, Mark and David. You're either the North or the South Islands of New Zealand, and we love you for it. Named by Dutch explorers, anglicized by Captain Cook, just before he died of embarrassment after seeing his name and picture on thousands of bottles of cheap champagne, destined to ruin many a wedding reception. Today we are joined by Mark Farnham and David Wright, direct descendants of Susan Wagner. Their familiar relationship is so obvious. Since coming to town, both Mark and David have been poring over plans to syndicate the Blossom Festival to Puyallup, to Eugene, and to Washtukna, and other wop-wop soons to be towns where they celebrate their own festival. And in 100 years from now, they will invite their grandchildren of Mark and David to ride an Lexus convertible, and you can imagine what wonders Mark and David's grandchildren will present to the unknown future of Wenatchee Valley. So do us all a favor, check back here in 100 years and let me know what you think. And now we meet our famous royal bloodline, as they reluctantly mix with the common people, somehow today more common than originally thought, but we'll muddle through. So let's say hello to Mark Farnham and David Wright, the descendants of the aforementioned Mrs. Wagner. Gentlemen, thanks for coming from New Zealand. Thanks for being our wonderful Grand Marshals for the parade, and thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
That's Mark Farnham, and here's David Wright.
And thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nice to see both of you. While we were sitting in the lobby, David and Mark, you guys regaled us with your knowledge of local history, which is fascinating in that it completely overshadows what we know here about our town, because people in your neighborhood still know about Wenatchee. I'm embarrassed to say that we know so little about the New Zealand, and we should know more.
Yes, it was just interesting looking in New Zealand papers at the time, and rather than going to an American paper and seeing how much in the Auckland Star was written about Wenatchee and Washington State.
In 1920 or thereabouts?
No, between 07 and 1912.
And tell us why that was such a big thing,
the marvelous marketing machine of Ernst Wagner and the other growers of the Wenatchee Valley.
I mistakenly gave Susan Wagner top billing, but you think that her husband Ernst was the brains of the outfit?
Well, he was the brains of the initial organization of the apple export industry to the Pacific, the Far East, and Europe.
And Australia and New Zealand had some apple industry, but nothing to compare with this.
Nothing to compare, and you have the beautiful extremes of seasons.
How much do you and your family know about Susan Wagner and her heritage here and what she's done for our valley?
Very little, really. After 1919, we don't know a lot. We know where she lived, a few things like that, but actually why she stayed here or anything like that, we don't.
So when the phone rang saying, ever been a Grand Marshal? Would you be interested? And you said, who am I speaking with, please?
Well, it started before that, to be quite honest, when I emailed Darcy. I get this email saying, my gosh, can I call you? And I'm sitting there at the other end thinking, what have I done?
And when it came back as Grand Marshals, we thought you had to put a Stetson on and six shooters and ride into Dodge.
You even had to get into Google to see what Grand Marshal
actually
means. You got to put on the boots and the six shooters and the whole thing. You'll see. All Grand Marshals are the same. You'll look like Gene Autry before you're done.
Mm.
And you'll feel like Gene Autry, which is even worse. Well, I'm so glad that you've come all this way because, it's worth it to see that we're a lot closer than we were in those days. It took, I don't know how long it took to get the apples from Wenatchee to New Zealand back in those days. Do you have any idea what the shipping time was like?
I was going on the fact that when Granny Sue came over here in 1902 by ship, she left on the 26th of April, which was exactly the same day, incidentally, that we left New Zealand this time.
Wow.
And she arrived in San Francisco, Vancouver, on about the 12th of May. So that'll give you an idea of how quickly you could get produce across the Pacific in those days.
When you talk about her in the past tense, as we must, what do you know about her personality, about her way of doing things, about her family life?
Well, Granny Sue was really had a business head on her. She was very business focused.
Was she all business, as they say?
Well, not so much that, but she knew how to set something out and how to promote something. If she just was quite focused in that way.
And did her family love her for that, or was she to be feared?
Well, she was a woman that went and did her own thing.
I like that.
So yes.
She was almost a matriarch to the family. I mean, if you talk to any member of the family, if you ask who can they talk about, there's two people. One is her, Granny Sue.
And she's still known as Granny Sue.
Known as Granny Sue.
Where was she born? What was the town like?
Well, she was born in Hakaru, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And she was...
Is that near your home?
No, near David's, more near David's home. The family were into hotels and small roadside hotels for the coach and horse travel. And so they were used to running a business. By the time she was 12, would have known the ins and outs of how to run a hotel very well, I would have thought.
So she was a businesswoman.
Oh, totally, yes.
Now, what persuaded her that she had to come to America at a young age?
Well, I think it was her second husband, wasn't it, that Callahan?
Yeah,
our great grandfather died of influenza in 1897, and Sue was single for a few years. And in 01, she met Charles Callahan, and he'd already been to America. So they, for about a year, they were in business in New Zealand together, and then they decided to pack up and sail for San Francisco in 1902.
Wow, those were times of the Barbary Coast in San Francisco.
Yes, yes.
It was a wide open town in those days. Well, what did she find when she got to America? Was it just her cup of tea?
Well, things didn't go as smoothly, we don't think. They tried doing what they did back in New Zealand with hotels, and it didn't work out. And I don't think her life with Callahan was terribly, terribly good. So they split. They split about 05, I think.
And she went off on her own?
She went off on her own. She stayed in San Francisco because we had letters. She somehow in that period trained as a nurse. And so we got letters through saying that she was nursing and photos of her with other women nursing through the earthquake.
Oh, the 1906 quake.
Yes, 1906.
She lived through that?
Yes, she lived through it, and she nursed through it as well.
That was quite a time. That town just about was gone.
Yes, yes.
Well, following the quake, there wasn't much of a city left. What did she do?
We don't really know much of what she got up to. I know she stayed in California most of the time. And it wasn't until 1913, I think, when she decided to come back to New Zealand to see her children. When things got tough with Callahan, she sent our grandmothers back to New Zealand by themselves and to be looked after by relatives back there.
My
grandmother, yes. So Sue came back for the first time in I think it might have been 1912. to visit them. And then on the way back, she met Ernst Wagner on the boat.
Aha, fateful meeting.
Fateful meeting, yes. After he had come out, he had such a successful run of years from 1907 till 1912 that he'd come out with new Model T Fords for his agent in New Zealand and agents in Australia.
That's quite a gift in those days.
It was, yes.
Now, this festival that she tried to recreate here and ended up by creating the Apple Blossom Festival, what sort of festival would that be like in New Zealand? Is there another churchyard festival?
We've gone back a lot to try and work out what festival she would have actually modelled it on, but we really can't find a festival in those days in New Zealand.
None whatsoever?
None whatsoever.
It comes even remotely close.
Close. Yeah. The festivals, Cherry Blossom Festival, Apple Festivals, all that, were later.
Yes.
Huh.
I have a feeling that it was her invention.
Oh, she wasn't recreating something.
We have a feeling that it was her invention.
She had a vision.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that interesting? Because I naturally assumed that each municipality or village would have its own May Football Festival, for instance, or Summer Festival, or Harvest Festival.
Yes, but if you think in 1919 the war had ended, she had just received news. In New Zealand, we had the worst flu epidemic ever. 8,000 people died.
Is that the Spanish flu?
In 4 months, yes.
Wow.
And both her daughters had nursed through that, and she'd received news that they were both okay. She had lost a sister-in-law in the flu. The other thing that was happening in 1919, particularly relevant today with you having so many women in politics, were, of course, Congress was passing the law, changing the law for giving women the vote in 1919. It was June, wasn't it? So there was talk of that. So there was, with war, with the state of mind that she was in, with her family being safe, with women getting the vote. Incidentally, New Zealand women had the vote in 1888, and she'd already voted in New Zealand before she came to America.
So an advanced modern society.
Advanced modern society. So you had all these lovely things happening, and I think she decided it was time to get out and have some fun.
I like that. She was an adventurer in a lot of ways.
Yes, very much.
And not afraid of adventure.
No, and not at all.
What do her children and her grandchildren and great-grandchildren now think about her when they consider Grandma Sue, Granny Sue?
Well, it's hard to say because she still has two granddaughters still alive. Unfortunately, my lovely aunt Colleen in Whangarei in New Zealand and Susan Champness in Santa Cruz in California. Unfortunately, they're too sick to make it over.
That's too bad.
But I've been interviewing. I've been ringing my aunt and just trying to get little snippets of information about her. And she visited in 1929, 33 and 37 with Ernst over to New Zealand. But she lived a life here, and I think they wrote weekly or monthly and kept in touch that way. But we really knew little of her life back here.
But she came back often enough for us to realize that that's what she considered home.
Well, I think it was just to see the family back. Wenatchee was home.
Mm-hmm.
Wenatchee was definitely home.
How many times have you been here?
This is my second visit.
And my second.
Yeah.
So let's go back to your first visit when you got off the plane. What were your impressions? You had no idea what it was going to look like.
Our cousin Charlie actually drove, the time I came over, he drove us over.
Likewise.
And it was the first time I'd seen 110 degrees. And I'm standing out in the middle, and it was the first time I'd been warm right through to my bones, and everybody said, get into this shop, it's air conditioned, and I'm standing in the middle of the street
going, this is rather nice.
This is rather nice.
110 degrees, no waiting, no freezing.
No freezing.
No chill blains.
No, because Auckland's quite damp, and I'd never experienced this solid sort of deserty heat.
That's fantastic. Well, what does this town look like to you now that you see it? And can you see any of New Zealand in it anymore?
We just think it's beautiful. The layout, the lovely wide streets, the cleanliness of it is just amazing. It's so beautifully clean.
Old Wenatchee Town.
Yes, it's beautiful.
I mean, the first time I came out here, again, Charlie brought us over here. The one thing we wanted to do, we have a newspaper cutting of Granny Sue sitting on Omi Gardens on a rock.
Wow.
Now, we can't find what the article was ever about or anything, but we've got the photo.
we
had to go up there, sit on the rock. Well, we sat on a rock anyway. Whether it was the right one, we don't know, but it was good enough for us.
Mm.
Well, let's talk about that phone call you got from the directors of the festival. They offered you an opportunity to take part, and did you think it over, or did you jump right in?
I was a little bit apprehensive, simply because I'd just gone through a heart attack, and I wasn't sure, can I, can't I? There was lots of things going through my mind.
How are you feeling today?
I'm here.
I know. So am I.
So I guess that's a good start.
That is indeed.
But once I sort of, yeah, it didn't really take me long, and I thought, you know, really, it would be a great opportunity to celebrate this lady, and why not?
Indeed,
because we
don't know what's happening, we don't know what's going on. We're just going to treat it as an adventure and enjoy it.
Well, there's a lot of parties and a lot of food and a couple of parades, and you'll get the hang of it. There's nothing to it, and plus, you'll be at the center of all the action. So, people, I'm sure, will be dying to make your acquaintance.
You're putting me right outside my comfort zone here. You know,
I'm sorry,
but having said that, somebody did mention a beer garden. I'll be right.
I think there is one. I always talk about beer gardens in the general sense, as if there might be one.
It might be hard on my heart, but never mind.
Actually, the beer is going to be great. It's all a lot of local beer makers whose works you might appreciate.
But I have been trying since I've been here, you know, getting local made ciders and everything.
Oh, yes.
So I'm making sure I'm supporting the locals.
Thank you so much, and we do appreciate it. And what about the food? What do you like best?
Too much of it.
Oh, so the portions are too big?
Well, yes. And I got told if I asked for a kiddie meal, they said I'd be thought of as cheap.
Well, I don't know about that.
we just can't get over the huge portions that you get.
Fantastic. I hadn't thought of that. Of course, I haven't had dinner in New Zealand for a while, so maybe I don't have anything to compare it to. Although, one guy that I went to high school with moved to New Zealand, became a mathematics professor, and never came back. He loves it dearly, and that's his home now. So, in fact, he's the one who told me that New Zealand is the same latitude south that California is north, so that we share a lot of West Coast weather patterns together, I think.
Yes, I think Christchurch and Seattle are the same.
There you go.
Yes, same latitude. And then when you move into central Otago, where our wines, red wines come from, I think that's getting pretty close to, is it Walla Walla? Or
south of here.
South of here, where you grow all your beautiful reds as well.
Our very special guests are Mark Farnham and David Wright. They're here because they are our grand marshals of the big parade. They're relatives of Sue Wagner, the woman who founded the parade 100 years ago. We're proud to have them here in our studio. We'll be back right after these words.
You're listening to The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 12:36. My very special guests today on the agenda are Mark Farnham and David Wright. They are the descendants of Susan Wagner, the woman who is ostensibly blamed or credited with starting the Wenatchee Festival known as the Apple Blossom Festival way back in 1919. We're celebrating the 100th year, and Mark Farnham and David Wright are our grand marshals for the big parade. Ever been in it's a silly question. Ever been a grand marshal before?
You're right. It's a silly question.
we don't even know what a grand marshal is.
That's a perfectly good silly answer. So
do I get shotguns?
Possibly, yes. We can work on that. I think. Yes, I see by looking at Darcy, we can get you a shotgun later. That's it. That'll be a fact. You have a big luncheon tomorrow, and you're going to be the guest of honor.
Yes, I believe we are, although it is for the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
There's going to be a number of events in town where you'll be present, and you'll see that they all sort of...
I'm rather thrilled to be at the luncheon with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, because one of our young cousins in California is very, very sick, and the Make-A-Wish Foundation took him to Tahiti with his parents.
Wow.
And so we've got a lot to thank the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Well, I hope he's feeling better, or can be better.
He never will get better.
I'm sorry about that. You have family in California, family all up and down the coast here, I guess?
Yes.
Because of the wanderings of your aforementioned relatives?
Yeah, wandering. and a child from her second husband, Callahan, that stayed in America. So we've got all these lovely, very lovely American cousins.
you were making fun of Americans, as everyone should, because we're fun to make fun of. But you say, why would anyone come to New Zealand? You have it all here.
Yes, you do.
Why would you go to the beach here?
You've got the most amazing country. You've got everything that you could possibly lay your hands on in volumes.
Gee, you make me want to stand up and sing a song.
Yes, I
God bless America, right?
Well, I think you should, yes. When you look around and see all the interesting surnames of all the, just the surnames of the festival committee, and you see that these people all came to your great country to get ahead. And it's done it for them. It's an amazing country, really.
When your relatives first came to New Zealand, where were they from?
Well, Nova Scotia and Great Britain.
Oh, Nova Scotia.
Well, and from Scotland originally. They went from Scotland to Nova Scotia and then down to New Zealand, and they arrived in 1859.
Well, they were early settlers, weren't they?
Well, relatively early. Yeah. I think the early New Zealand started getting settled about 1810.
It's a beautiful place that I've only seen by film and photograph. But it seems like there are dramatic mountains and dramatic forests and rock formations. It seems to be, if what we see in the Hobbit movies is actual and not the creation of the crazy director, then it's a remarkable place.
You talk about North and South Island, you're looking at two very different islands.
Yes. Yeah.
One's mountainous, the other's green pastures and flat land almost.
I know you have a lot of sheep, but I have to ask, do you have kangaroos too?
No. No,
it's only on Australia.
We have a few wallabies that were introduced.
Those are nice.
And both are, my uncle and I think David's father went off shooting wallabies at one stage on one of the islands.
So when the Farnhams and the Wrights get together, did your neighbors say, oh, you know them, they're always going off to America. They have so many relatives. They're connected.
We've never been traveled together before.
Wow.
We've always done everything separately. We lost track of the American family, and it was only I was visiting one of our very old relatives that's long gone, and there was a letter sitting on the table from Charlie Callahan's mother. That was Sue's grandson's mother, and I immediately picked up the phone and rang her at her rest home, and then within hours, Charlie Callahan was ringing me, and we started the contact, reconnected from
there. That's great.
But there hadn't been any connection with America since before the war, really. Oh, hang on. My mother did come to to live in Wenatchee for a year with Sue in 1948, and she actually attended the 1949 Apple Blossom Festival.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm actually the fourth generation to attend an Apple Blossom Festival. My grandmother was here in 1922.
That's certainly worth mentioning, remembering fondly. Well, how long are you going to be able to stay? When the parade's over and your duty's in, can you hang around and just see something for fun, or do you have to split?
Well, we've left it open. Obviously, we do have to get back to
your former life.
Former life. Well, to Seattle about 3 days afterwards.
We haven't got green cards, so we can't stay.
Oh, you mix right in.
So we've left it open, and, yeah, we're just going to play it by ear.
That's wonderful.
See what happens.
Maybe you can see a baseball game when you get to the other side.
Possibly.
Maybe you're not interested, but if you are, we'll see one. When you think about Wenatchee, do you ever think what a strange set of predicaments and arrangements that all came together to have your relationship so far away from New Zealand and yet to be such a strong relationship?
Yes, it's amazing, isn't it, really? Yes, it's just the dynamics of one woman, really, that kept it together. And my first recollections of Wenatchee was was about eight, and my mother was going through her photograph album. And she opens up the photograph album, and this beautiful flocked apple falls out with a gold band on it.
Ooh.
And I said to Mum, what is this? And I'd never heard of Wenatchee. It had never been mentioned. She said, oh, that's my dance card from the 1949 Apple Blossom Ball. And I can remember opening it up but saying, Mum, there's no names in it. So didn't you get a dance? And she said, dear, she said, there was only two dancers. I danced the complete dance with the same boys. She said they were all cutting in. They all wanted to dance with the tall, dark foreigner from,
wonderful.
From the south of the Pacific.
Of course. She was probably magnificent.
Yeah, well, she was different. Yeah, she was tall and thin and 22 at the time.
Good combination, seems like.
Mm, she came over essentially to look after Granny Sue after Ernst Wagner died in 48.
Do members of your family dream or consider ever immigrating, coming here? Or is that something that you may see in your future because of your strong connections?
I can't see it, certainly not my family's anyway, no.
I had always thought of either living in Australia or the US at one stage. I was keen on shifting businesses over there and seeing how it went. I'm a bachelor, so I could have actually moved if I'd wanted, but I sort of stayed put, really.
That happens, doesn't it? Mark, that's the voice of Mark Farnham. David Wright is also here. They're the relatives of Susan Wagner, the woman credited with founding the Apple Blossom Festival. We're at our 100th year, so she must have done something right, and these two gentlemen are genetic signals from her past that we love and welcome to our town. We'll be right back after these words.
Valley today at 509-884-3561.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 1247. You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ. Mark Farnham and David Wright are my very special guests. They are the descendants of Susan Wagner, the woman who is credited with founding the Apple Blossom Festival. And 100 years hence, her family has come from New Zealand to be our grand marshals. So we welcome you to town, as I'm sure everyone has. And now, what are you expecting for the parade? Have you been briefed on what's expected for you? You have to go early, sit in the back of a convertible, and then wave. I think that's about it.
Yeah, we've already practiced that.
Can I see your wave?
I dragged my...
Well, we have that's a good one. Yeah, we're a bit of,
Mark's got a little, but you've got a very broad, big man wave. Yeah. I like that. That's good for you.
I took my old convertible over to David's house, and we sat in the back and took a photo for Darcy. So without waving our New Zealand flags, which we brought with us.
Oh, I do want to see that. It's in that as well. The parade is a lot of fun, and it goes slowly, so you'll be seeing everybody in town who is somebody, and I'm sure they'll be calling out to you their thanks and their appreciation, or maybe someone will say, who are these old geezers?
Well,
who
the sheer size of it.
Who are these guys?
Yeah. So Darcy said there's 250 floats, is there, in there?
If she said it, then it's happening, believe me. She's the brains of the outfit. And there's even before the parade, there's something called the pre-parade. I've never been able to be in the parade, but I've been in the pre-parade before. And that looks like the parade, but it's not.
Oh.
It just starts first. You have to. She'll tell you one of these days. But do you know what kind of car you're going to be riding in?
No, we don't.
Are you going to be sitting on the back like
yes.
they do?
Yes, I assume so. Yeah.
And what about your outfits? What are you guys going to wear?
We're still tossing that one at the moment. Possibly something with a nice big silver fern, which is obviously the New Zealand...
Oh, I like that.
National flower.
The silver fern?
Silver
yes.
fern.
Yes. I like that. What's it look like?
It's a fern, and when you turn it over, it's silver underneath.
Yeah, it's a tree fern.
Tree fern. I've seen, there was some actually in the gardens in Seattle when we came through.
I'm surprised about that, but I guess they'll grow anywhere.
Yes,
that's fascinating. So that's the state or the country's?
The country's national plant.
It's a national emblem for our sportsmen and women that represent New Zealand.
Beautiful. I see it right there. You've got the wonderful pins that they're wearing. I'm impressed by you guys. You didn't just walk in and wonder why we called you. You really knew a lot more about this than I did, and I'm fascinated by that. And that's a great credit to your family and the interesting, fascinating history you've had, because so many families can't even think what happened to them two generations ago. They don't know anymore. I know that's happened to my family. We were not quite certain how we got out of Wisconsin.
No, well, we're so happy that we can fill in a few of the gaps, perhaps.
Well, you have for us,
you've
certainly.
Got it complete.
And, we're still learning as well. We're hoping that some of the gaps can be filled in for us.
Fabulous. Mark Farnham and David Wright are the grand marshals for the parade. And after the parade's over, then what happens? Are you released to your own devices for a couple of days?
Pretty much, yes. Oh, no, don't forget the beer party.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that. Darcy, are you sure?
Yes.
There's a beer party. Believe me, there is one. And it'll be the best. I'm fascinated by your knowledge of the unwritten history that we're putting together now, and you've helped a great deal with that. When did Granny Sue die? How did she leave
she
this
died,
planet?
She died in 1953.
So she had a long life.
Yes, she did. She, well, basically, was it 40 years in Wenatchee?
And she died here?
Yes. She's buried in the Wenatchee Cemetery.
Wow.
We've actually both been to her grave, and the last visits we've had, and we've both put flowers on.
I think the town should go visit her periodically and do the same. because we owe her a lot. And you never had a chance to meet her, I take it.
No, she died 2 years before I was born.
But the family still talks about her, so that's the kind of relative that I want to have.
Well, I brought the subject up. My aunt hadn't mentioned her for years, and I suddenly started asking questions just in the last 6 or 8 months, just to sort of fill in any gaps, trying to judge what sort of a woman she was.
Apparently she was quite a character.
Very much a character, very much the businesswoman, very much the go off and do what I want, and very dynamic.
Well, we have much to thank you and your family and your country for, so thank you, New Zealand, and thank you, Mark Farnham and David Wright. It's been a pleasure talking to you about your incredibly interesting relative, Susan Wagner. And next time you see her, tell her thank you so much for starting this crazy parade and festival that happens every year. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Anything you want to say to the good people of Wenatchee before we sign off?
Well, enjoy the 2019 Apple Blossom Festival. You've got a great bunch of organizers, and we've never witnessed such a team of people that's so dedicated to putting this festival together. Darcy and her team are just wonderful.
I reciprocate that, but you know, we want to meet the people. We're here to meet the people. We know we've got our set itinerary, but people want us to join into things. Yeah, we want to. We want to be part of it.
One of the things that I learned about this town when I first moved here was that the people on the streets talk to one another, which is not always the case in a big city.
Yes, everyone this morning said good morning to me when I went for my morning walk.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you so much. Mark Farnham, David Wright, it's been a pleasure. Have a great festival, and you are our Grand Marshals. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Need a kickstart? Hi, this is Emma, membership.